for this morning.
Amen.
And are ready for more dispensing.
Amen.
That word last night, I think most of us heard it. Was there anyone who wasn't able, had not arrived yet? Last night, okay. So please share on the break about last night, because the way our brother laid out the one new man, you know, it was something fresh and new to me, you know, to see that there's different levels of God's heart's desire in the church, you know, starting with just the church as the assembly of the called out ones, to seeing that it's actually God's household. We are God's family. And going further to see that we are members of the body of Christ. But not stopping there, not stopping at just a body that's alive like someone in a coma, but going all the way to see that the one new man is actually the person of Christ.
Amen.
Lived out in all the believers.
Amen.
Which is an unfathomable oneness. It represents, it expresses that oneness of the triune God.
Amen.
So this morning, I'm actually full of feeling about this matter of the one new man.
Amen.
And I think in order for us to truly appreciate and enter into the one new man, we need to see the one old man. And my prayer this morning is that the Lord would thoroughly expose the old man. Especially to you all in your college years. Because many times we don't realize we are surrounded by the old man. And in fact, we are living in the old man. So I even, you know, I feel to even, we just need to begin with some prayer that the Lord would really cover us.
Amen.
And He would shine on us and expose us. So if you're new among us, you may hear some amens. And that's just the saints. That's just the resonation of the prayer being confirmed and affirmed. So I'll just pray, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We just open to You, Lord.
Amen.
We need You.
Amen.
Apart from You, we can do nothing.
Amen.
Lord, apart from You, we are nothing.
Amen.
We have no meaning.
Amen.
Life is vanity.
Amen.
But Lord, You are meaning.
Amen.
You are reality.
Amen.
Oh, You make everything real.
Amen.
You are our purpose.
Amen.
You're our source, our way, and our destination.
Amen.
We depend on You in this meeting.
Amen.
Thoroughly expose your enemy.
Amen.
Thoroughly expose the old man.
Amen.
Lord, reveal the new man.
Amen.
Oh, the one new man.
Amen.
Your heart's desire, Lord.
Amen.
Usher us into the reality.
Amen.
Thank You, You're the Spirit of reality.
Amen.
We love You, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to talk about the truth versus the lie. So if you can turn in your booklet to page 7, this section in Romans 1:18 through 32 may be the best description of the world that we live in and how we got here. I appreciated so much last night how our brother walked us through the creation of Adam and the journey through the four falls of man, how we arrived at the old man. But how Christ on the cross, there in Ephesians 2:15, He created the new man.
Amen.
Because God created the creation, right? But then it was corrupted. And then He created the new creation,
Amen.
Which is being renewed.
Amen.
And we'll get to that. So this matter on Romans 1, 18 through 32, actually parallels Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. So those are the two things. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, we'll see the truth. In Romans 1, 18 through 32, we'll see the lie. So we're going to go through these verses. But before we do, I want to touch a little bit on this matter of truth. So especially in the Gospel of John, truth is the same Greek word as reality. So when the Lord Jesus came, he was full of grace and reality. And that could just also be saying grace and truth. And there in John chapter 8, verse 32, the Lord Jesus says, and this is an often quoted verse, he says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen. And then a few verses later, four verses later in verse 36, he said, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. So the Son is the truth. Amen. The Son is the reality. Amen. Jesus is the reality. Amen. So let's go into this matter of Romans. But before I do, I want to talk one, just show on Romans 5, this matter of the lie, in case anyone needs some context. Romans 5 is a marvelous chapter. It's verses 12 and 14 I want to focus on. So it's verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus death passed on to all men, because all have sinned." Okay, and then in verse 14, "But death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a type of him who was to come." So what that verse is saying there is, as our brother pointed out, you know, the fall of man, but because of what Adam did, and we were all in Adam, we were there, like genetically, we were there. And so what he did, we all participated in, right? And so even if it says, even if we did not sin, death is still reigning. But fortunately, we all know by now we're sinners. So we have sinned. And death reigns, even till today. But hallelujah, through the offense of one, death reigned. Through the one righteous act, amen, righteousness, life will reign.
Amen.
Unto eternal life. And we are set free. So let's go through the lie. And I'll just read through these verses and comment. And you just consider in your university, in your college, like this is the reality of the world today, of the old man. So verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness." So you can underline there, they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, "Because that which is known of God is manifest within them, for God manifested it to them." So there's something nefarious going on here. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of him, both his eternal power and divine characteristics, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being perceived by the things made, so that they would be without excuse." So God is revealed through creation. So even if you didn't have the Word of God, even if you didn't have someone preach the gospel to you, creation itself testifies of God, both of his eternal power and of his divine characteristics. And if you want to have this confirmed even more, I encourage you to read and sing the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Because the writer of that hymn was just blown away by creation. Just blown away. And sometimes when we're in the city, you know, city life, creation is distant. But if you go out into the mountains, into the countryside, to the ocean, and you just see the stars at night, you know. Even in Psalm 8, David says, when I see the stars at night, what is man, right? That you should even care, that you should be mindful of him. Because creation is marvelous. The edges of the universe, we don't even know where they are. We could never reach them. It just shows God's unfathomable, immeasurable attributes, his characteristics. But it goes all the way down to the submolecular detail. Like everything reveals God. So I'm a scientist by training, and so I study, you know, in the pursuit of knowledge, creation. And everything reveals God. Everything. And any true scientist, I know the majority are atheists, any real scientist cannot be an atheist, because you absolutely cannot say, if you're a scientist, you cannot say there is no God. Nor can you say there is a God. That requires faith. Any conclusion requires faith. To be an atheist actually takes more faith, because you're betting it all on the fact that you're right on something you cannot prove. Faith is the conclusion. You have to believe something. Either there is God, which you can experience in your human spirit, you can know, and creation testifies, or you can throw it off and say, there is no God, and you can bet your eternity on that. But fortunately, we can experience God, and so we don't have to place bets. That was a side note. I wasn't planning on sharing that. But. So what we see here in these first few verses is there is a force that's holding down the truth. And they does not want knowledge of God to be revealed. They don't want to accept that there is a God. Okay, so in verse 21, because though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or thank him, but rather became vain in their reasonings, and their heart, lacking understanding, was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So this correlates with Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, which is actually not on here, but it talks about they're being darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God. In case you haven't realized yet, when I'm speaking, I'm thinking mostly of your professors, because I was actually on track to be one of them, and then the Lord had mercy on me. So, we can continue on. So professing to be wise, they became fools. So this is the world today. They're just professing. They have wisdom. We figured it out. You know, I work in business now, and I work a lot with new technologies, especially artificial intelligence. I work with mental health. And are you familiar with the term singularity? So this is what AI experts say is the moment that artificial intelligence becomes very real. And the machines wake up. And then they decide, do we exterminate the humans? They fear it. Elon Musk, he fears it, singularity. And so I get into these discussions with these very professing to be wise people. And they say, singularity, it's coming. It's coming. And I say, just to kind of be cute, a little crafty, I say, do you think 1,000 years after singularity, the machines will deny the existence of man and say that we evolved from an abacus? And then there's a kind of a nervous laugh they give me. Anyway, that's a distraction. But professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to uncleanness, so that they dishonor their bodies among themselves. So what this is talking about is basically idolatry. And in North America, idolatry is a little more hidden, right? And if you go to some other areas of the world, it's very, very prevalent. But it's, nevertheless, it is here in a big way. Idolatry in this country, in North America, has a lot to do with entertainment. Sports. You say, well, we don't have an idol. Well, I challenge you. Have you ever put on a jersey of another man? Don't do that. Just take on the image of another man because they're a sports idol. The entertainment, Hollywood, these people become idols. American Idol, the singers, all the entertainment. It seems harmless, but actually, it's an idol. And fornication always follows idolatry. I
just need to move up your mic a little bit.
Is that better? So we have to be very clear about these things because they're very much part of our daily life. They're very much part of our daily life. And it just, God has to give them up. And here's the key verse, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So this is, you know, when the Lord, because I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to do, I got to see many sectors. And do you know what? They all started looking the same. No matter what profession you go into, there's a conference. And everyone in the conference thinks that that profession is it. I studied, in my first graduate degree, I studied a bacteria called Shewanella putrefaciens. No one here cares about that. But let me tell you something. The people who study that bacteria, they think it's amazing. I even went to a conference in San Francisco, and on our bags they gave us, it said, microbes in a changing world. To the rest of the world, that is silly. And there are just thousands of people with their posters, and they're all studying this little protein or this enzyme or this gene, and their whole life is around that little thing. And they're just worshiping that smidgen of creation. But they think they're so wise. They think they're so smart. And it takes their whole life. This is giving some. And it's vanity. And then I go into other sectors, right? Business, medicine. They all have their conference. They all have their focus. It's a system. And we're just, as human beings, we're just filed away in a system. And we don't know it. You know, there's a verse in Jeremiah 2:13. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, which hold no water. Human life, apart from the Lord, is the hewing out of broken cisterns. And our entire life is moving from one cistern to another. And in the end, they hold no water. So, what this verse is saying is actually these people, these ones, these leaders, they actually exchanged the truth for the lie and worshiped and served creation rather than the Creator. Therefore, God gave them up to passions of dishonor. For their females exchanged the natural use for that which is contrary to nature. And likewise also the males, leaving the natural use of the female, burned in their craving toward one another. Males with males committing unseemliness and fully receiving in themselves the retribution of their error which was due. And even as they did not approve of holding God in their full knowledge, God gave them up to a disapproved mind, circle mind, to do the things which are not fitting. This is the world today. being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, slanderers, hateful to God, insolent, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, senseless, faithless, affectionless, merciless, who, though fully knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but also have fellow delight in those who practice them. This is the world today. You turn on the news, this is exactly what you see. The college campus, this is exactly what you see. This is the world today. This is the totality of the old man. It has a lot to do with the mind. The mind has been darkened. It has been given up. It is fully corrupted. In this verse 28, they did not approve of holding God in their full knowledge. You know, on the campuses today, they do not approve of holding God in full knowledge. In fact, if you're a believer, you're thought of as archaic, as silly, as superstitious. And this is completely backwards, but it is the lie. It is the system of error. It is what we were born into. And then this verse 32, who though fully knowing the righteous judgment of God, can anyone really say, oh, I didn't know that we weren't supposed to do murder and fornication? I didn't know. That those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but they also have fellow delight in those who practice them. So when they have their parades, they just are just boasting in their shame. They have no feeling. They've given it up. They know it's wrong, but they want to force you to accept it because they want to have fellow delight in practicing evil. You know, we were talking about last night, the Tower of Babel. Do you know the EU, the European Parliament building, it's designed as the Tower of Babel. Look it up. It's in Strasbourg. It is the Tower of Babel. They designed it that way. And do you know outside of the other European EU building in Brussels, they have Europa, this woman, and she's riding a beast. It's out in the open. You know, these are references both to Revelation. We know Revelation 18, right? The woman riding the beast. It's the sign. And then, of course, the Tower of Babel. It's man's rebellion, the totality of man's rebellion against God. As our brothers shared last night, that act at Babel was under the direct rule of Satan. That was Satan operating through the one old man to go absolutely against God. Because God desires the one new man to express him and exercise his dominion, meaning to deal with Satan. And so Satan used the old man to come against God. And to say, you know, in Revelation, when after the eternal gospel, man becomes so arrogant, they actually declare war on God. That's what Armageddon is. They actually go to fight against God himself. That's how arrogant they become. And even despite all the terrible things that happen in the Great Tribulation, they refuse to turn. They refuse to turn. This is the totality of the old man. But what I hope we see this morning is that unbeknownst to us, we can be living in that old man. And you may be in the clean section of the old man, but you're still in the old section. You're still in the old man. And this matter, we circled this matter of our mind, because that is the battleground. That is the battleground. So let's turn to our outline, which I believe is on the previous page. Yeah, page 6. So I hope I hope that these verses, and I hope you can come back to them, actually, and even read on in Romans 2. We don't have time for it. But in Romans 2, it's very clear. It's talking about, basically, don't think that you're not inside this old man. Don't think that you're not in chapter 1, 18 through 32. So don't judge others, right? Because we need to be reconciled. And it says, mentions truth at least three times after that to counter the lie. But we're moving into this outline. And so the title, let's read the title all together. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Okay, so these are talking about two creations. The creation of the old man was just creation. It was actually good at one time. And then it became corrupted. Let's read on the flip side, Ephesians 4:22. Ready? That you put off, as regards your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit. Okay, let's keep going. 23 and 24. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality. Amen. So there's two creations. They cannot exist in the same place at the same time. Right? You have to put off one to put on the other. Right? And this all has to do with our mind. I hope we'll get into some practical examples. One, in our experience as believers in Christ, we should put off the old man and put on the new man. A, we must put off the old man. So this is the lie in Romans 1:25, where it says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. So there was an effort in human history to push off the truth and put on the lie. And then we are in that lie. But in verse 25 of Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, having put off the lie, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So what's happening is we're turning the tables on the enemy. He flipped the script on us. We were created for something wonderful, something marvelous, something good, according to God's heart. God desired that the man would eat the tree of life, that is to take God in, to become one with God, and to have that fellowship, to be no break in communication, a total life of interdependence. But Satan came in and he damaged that. So when we put off the lie, we're flipping the script back on Satan. Amen. And we're putting on the new man which was created in Christ.
Amen.
Right? This is the truth. This is the reality. That is our hope for you all this weekend.
Yes.
That we could join together and we could put off the lie.
Amen.
We could put on the truth.
Amen.
The one new man.
Amen.
So moving on. Have you all been baptized? Is there anyone who hasn't been baptized?
There's some that haven't. One wants to get baptized this afternoon.
Oh, wonderful. So baptism is wonderful. Do you know why? Because in baptism we put off the old man.
Amen.
Our old man was crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And was buried in baptism.
Amen.
So this is in Romans 6, 4 through 6. But I want to also turn your attention to Romans 6 talks about we were buried with Christ. When Christ was buried, the old man was buried. When we are joined to Christ, do you know when Christ offered himself up through the eternal spirit? That's in Hebrews 9:14. He offered himself up through the eternal spirit. When we believed in Christ, we know in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
So we touch the one spirit. Christ offered himself up through the eternal spirit. That's the same spirit. As soon as that happened, as soon as we believe, we were connected like a circuit immediately to the death of Christ.
Amen.
What he did on the cross through the eternal Spirit, when we touch the Spirit with our spirit, the circuit is complete.
Amen.
And we are joined to Christ 2,000 years ago because the Spirit is outside of space and time.
Amen.
You ever consider that? You ever wonder, how was I there on the cross? How was I in Christ when he was crucified? It's through the eternal Spirit.
Amen.
So when we receive the Spirit into our spirit, we are joined to that event on the cross.
Amen.
So in fact, we are all twins because we were born when Christ was resurrected.
Amen.
Because he was resurrected as a life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And we are one with that Spirit. And the Spirit is outside of space and time. So when we are baptized, like this afternoon, when we are baptized, we are declaring we have been put into the death of Christ. The old man has been crucified.
Amen.
Our old man has been crucified. That is our declaration. And then after our baptism, we want to live in the reality of that baptism, which is the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man.
Amen.
So last night, our brother shared about what this new man is, where it's Christ is all and in all. He talked about where there cannot be. There cannot be your culture. There cannot be your race. There cannot be your religion. But Christ is all and in all. Well, let's turn to, on page 8, Galatians 3, 27 through 28. This is another there cannot be. 3:27. As many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Amen.
There cannot be Jew nor Greek. There cannot be slave nor free man. There cannot be male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, this is the second there cannot be. We're seeing the theme here. In the world, right? There's just division. And we'll touch on this a little bit more. There's just division. And the more divided you are, the more you can identify yourself out of everyone else, the more you should be respected according to the world. Even this matter of gender. Two genders wasn't good enough. We need more genders because we need to be more divided. So they start making up genders. It's the complete opposite of where Christ is going. What he's saying here, in the new man, there is no gender. You are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So the world's going that way. The Lord's taking us this way.
Amen.
He's taking us into oneness.
Amen.
He's taking us into reality.
Amen.
So number 2 is to put off the former manner of life, the old man, is to put off our way of living. So we see there in verse 22 of Ephesians, it says, the old man, which is being corrupted. Who wants to be being corrupted? You know, actually our bodies, you all are too young, but some of us who are, as we're getting older, we're being corrupted, I guarantee it. But there's hope. You read, what is that? 2 Corinthians 4:24. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed. So remember that as you get older. In the flesh. The former manner of life includes everything related to us.
Amen.
Everything related to us. Especially the community life of the old man. So, I know these words they're interesting. And it's like, I get it, I see it. But I tell you, there's something happens when the Lord, and we really need to pray for this, when the Lord actually shows this to us. And you realize this thought is the old man. I put off this lust, this desire is the old man. I have to put it off and I put on Christ.
Amen.
And it's an actual thing. It's not ethereal. It's not theoretical. It's actual. It's in our daily life. You have a thought. That brother, something, something. Or that sister, something, something. Or that person. It's the old man. And we have to put it off. Christ does not think that way. He died for that person.
Amen.
He does not think that way. He loves that person.
Amen.
And if you saw the Christ in them, you would love them more than yourself. That's the reality. And if the world was that way, Satan would have no way. So we have to realize, example, you probably read Twitter, right? Actually, social media itself is a counterfeit of the body of Christ. It's a topic for another day, but there's just this connectivity. But what's being expressed is the old thoughts. Actually, in the Twitter comments, that's just Satan. It's just Satan's ground. But the new man, the body of Christ, is the real thing, where we're all connected by the Spirit.
Amen.
We're all joined as one. And the only thought, the only feeling, and the only desire is Christ's desire.
Amen.
So in the world, social media, you have everyone trying to express themselves, and they glorify in that, right? But actually, it's vicious. It's terrible. It causes young women to kill themselves. They're bullied. They're mistreated. It's unbelievable the division that's caused by that thing. And that's the counterfeit. Because everyone desires to be connected, to belong. Because we were designed to be connected. Do you know that, I do some work in mental health. One of the biggest killers, one of the biggest causes of dementia, of neurocognitive decline, is isolation. Even if you are surrounded by people, you could still feel isolated. And in fact, the more people are on social media, the more isolated they feel. Because we're designed to have community. We're designed that way. And the community, the real community, is the church life. It's according to the Spirit. It's living Christ. So my hope here is that you would pray, because I cannot, and Emmanuel cannot, none of us can cause you to see. Only the Lord can give light.
Amen.
Only the Lord can reveal this to you. We can encourage you to go to the Lord and ask Him to show you, to really show you, to expose the thoughts in our daily life as we're just conducting ourselves. Normal MO. We had a great morning revival. We're just going through our day. How much of our thoughts are according to the old man? B, we need to put on the new man, which was created according to God. So the parallel verse is Colossians 3:10 on page 8. You ready? And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him. So you remember in verse 22, the old man, which is being corrupted. But here you have the new man, which is being renewed.
Amen.
Do you want to be in the being corrupted or being renewed? Being renewed, right? Amen. In baptism, we put on the new man. So when we are brought up, we put on the new man, which is Christ. To put on the new man is to put on the community life of the one new man, the church life. So there's a description in Ephesians. It's not on your outline here, so I'll read it to you. But there's a description following put on the new man in Ephesians 4. It's 25 through 32. It says, therefore, having put off the lie, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Isn't that marvelous? What if we lived in a world where each one spoke truth, one to another, and we saw each other as members, one of another? It says, be angry, yet do not sin. That just means be genuine. But do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your indignation. It means always clear offense. Never hold on to any offense. Before the sun goes down, make sure that you are clear. You are clear, there's no offense to anyone. Neither give place to the devil. That's because if we don't take care of those things, we have just given place to the devil. Now he has a root in our being. And he can pull that up at any time, and he will, at the worst time. 28, he who steals should steal no more, but rather should labor, working with his own hands in that which is respectable, that he may have something to share with him who has need. So you see the attitude here of the church life, we take care of one another. We contribute. 29, this is very important. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Can you imagine in the new man, no corrupt word, only that which is good for building up, just to encourage our brothers, just encourage the sisters, supply them, give grace to those who have need.
Amen.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ also forgave you. Now you remember the end of Romans, verse 30, 30 through 32 of chapter 1? That's the old man. Whisperers, slanderers, hateful to God, mistreating, murderers, envy, strife. Here it's, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It is such a difference, such a contrast. In the world you have affliction, but in the new man we have peace.
Amen.
We have joy,
amen.
Right? There's just such a care and a concern for one another. Which one do we want to be in? Does anyone want to be in the old man?
No.
But oftentimes we're still there because we have to put it off. Putting off is not passive, right? Like, you could say, this jacket, it was created, but I have to put it on. That's the new man. But if I have another jacket on, I have to take it off, I have to put it off. And that's the way it is with our mind. We have to make a conscious decision to put off the old man so that we could put on the new man. So let's move to Roman numeral 2. The key to putting off the old man and putting on the new man is to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So coming back to this matter of truth, because I hope this matter of truth can really impress us. In John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he knows it. And he prays the highest prayer in the entire Bible, and it is a prayer for oneness. It really reveals the heart of God. That they may be one, even as you, Father, and me are one. And in this prayer, he prays in verse 17. Just remember, 17:17. He says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Okay, we know where the lie is. The lie is in the world. The truth is in the word. Jesus is the word of God. When we touch the Word with our spirit, we are touching Jesus, who is the reality. He is truth. We need to be sanctified in truth. The more we are in the Word, the more our mind is being renewed. To come to the Word in a prayerful way is to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And the Word of God is living and operative. It operates in our being. So as long as we're taking the word in a prayerful way, it operates. We don't have to work it out ourselves. We just have to take it in. Just like this morning when you ate breakfast, that's all you had to do. It's operating. It's going to build you up. It's going to energize you. It's the same way. The word sanctifies us. It starts to change our mind. It renews our mind. Roman numeral 8, Christ as the life-giving spirit is now in our human spirit. And these two spirits mingle together to form the spirit of the mind. So 2 Timothy 4:22, you know, this is the last book the Apostle Paul wrote. And this is the last verse that he wrote. And he said to Timothy, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you." So it's really about the Lord being with our spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 6:17, which we mentioned, which is, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." So this matter of the human spirit is so important. It is the key to everything. Everything of meaning in the universe has to do with our human spirit. That is the gateway to heaven. That is the point at which we contact eternity. It's the portal to God. And it is the gateway to the mingled spirit. And do you know this mingled spirit is the universal spirit? It's the mingling of the triune God, the divine life, and all the human beings who are redeemed and regenerated in Christ. So in the mingled spirit are the spirits of the Apostle Paul, the spirits of Moses, all the apostles, all the saints throughout time. It's all in the mingled spirit. And that is our divine and mystical oneness. That is how we are all connected. And that spirit, that mingling, as we open the way, so our spirit is a portal. And then we know, many of us know Romans 8:6, which says, "For the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." So what does it mean? When the mind is set on the spirit can, it's like turning a valve. The spirit can then infiltrate our mind. And when the spirit is coming into our mind, there's renewing going on. There's life and peace. And that's why when we say come to the Word in a prayerful way, that means to activate our spirit, which has to go through our mind to understand and perceive the Word, which is taking it in. So our mind becomes the channel through which our spirit and the Word are in contact. The circuit is complete when we set our mind on the Spirit and we touch the Word. That's where the renewing takes place. B, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind is inward and intrinsic. The renewing of the mind of our spirit revolutionizes our logic, philosophy, thought, concept, and psychology. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind." We have to be transformed. Do you know, the thought here, and I lack the words and the utterance to fully expose myself. That's why we need the Lord's mercy. We need His enlightening. Do you know when the Lord Jesus, who had done nothing wrong, when He was there in front of Pilate, even Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, he's like, "This guy's done nothing wrong." But he's a politician, so he's got to do what the people want. He's a puppet. He's trying to let Jesus go. And do you know what the Jews, the religionists, did? They chose to free a murderer rather than the author of life, who was innocent. What thought is this? You look on the news today, you look at the government, you look at the U.S. government, you look at all that activity. What thought is that? That is the old man. That is the old man out in the open, shameless. You know? We don't have time, but do you know there in Thessalonians it talks about the mystery of lawlessness. That mystery is being revealed. And it will ultimately consummate in the man of lawlessness. But we're at the end of the age. Lawlessness is no longer a mystery. It is very prevalent. But you have to realize the thought that would release a murderer and kill an innocent, that is very prevalent in society today. That thought is everywhere. It is everywhere. In the United States, they want to free criminals and they want to kill babies. It's controversial, but that's the reality. That is the thought. That is the thought that said, free Barabbas and kill the Lord Jesus. It's the same thought. It is Satan's mind, and it is prevalent in society today. And even inside of us, there's probably reactions when you hear some of these things. It's because the old man, we were born into it. It affects us. We have to put it off. Put on the new man. Put on Christ, which is being renewed.
Amen.
How do we do that? We need to drink of the one Spirit. Amen. So that we may be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Hallelujah.
In every area of our daily life.
Amen.
We've all been given to drink of one Spirit.
Amen.
Titus 3:5, it's not out of works in righteousness which we did, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the more we exercise our spirit, the more we touch the Word, the more we are being renewed. Saints, this is not theory. This is reality. This is truth. I just don't have the words. But I do have a taste of it. I do have the experience. And I know that through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Spirit, my mind is being renewed.
Amen.
My thoughts are changing. The way I see the saints is so different from the way we saw it decades ago. It is so different. But it is not passive. It doesn't just happen. Like, we'll take care of it after I get my good job and family and my kids are in Harvard. And it doesn't happen that way. It happens by the putting off of the old man. It's
Amen.
Active. It's active. Put on the new man.
Amen.
To drink of the Spirit is to open ourselves to the Lord by praying to Him, calling upon His name, and fellowshipping with Him. When we drink of the Spirit, He saturates every part of our being. The first part of our soul that He saturates is our mind. We talked about Romans 8:6. Every morning, first thing out of our mouth, Lord Jesus, I love You.
Amen.
Because, Lord Jesus, I love You. We just turn our heart to the Lord. Everything else is going to come. Your phone, your assignments, your family, the people you know who are suffering. Everything is just bombarding you. It's waiting. Come into the old man. Stay in the old man. Lord Jesus, I love You. Nothing else in this universe matters as long as I have You. As long as I touch the eternal Spirit with my spirit, I am joined to eternity. There's nothing greater than that in the entire universe. And we have the name of God. We have Jesus.
Jesus.
How wonderful the name. He gave us His name, so it's so easy. We just call on His name. We are joined. We are in the process.
Amen.
That's how we drink of the Spirit. If we drink of the Spirit, we will be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And this renewing will make us all into one new man.
Amen.
Saints, we got to practice. You know, we don't know these verses, 23, 24. Let's add 25. Speak truth. What does that mean? Speak Christ.
Amen.
Speak Christ to one another.
Amen.
We are members of one another. We don't want to speak anything that would hurt or damage another member. We want to build each other up.
Amen.
That's what brings the Lord back.
Amen.
For when our mind has been renewed, the one new man will come into existence in a practical way. And Christ will truly be all and in all.
Amen.
Saints, this is marvelous. This world is fully corrupted. It is going into the eternal fire. It is just, it's going off the waterfall. And unfortunately, all the people are just dead leaves floating down that waterfall, waiting for their turn to go over the edge. Saints, we have to be freed ourselves. We need our mind to be renewed. We need to be set free. We need to speak truth to one another, and we need to free the people in the world. We need to activate those dead leaves to become fish that can swim upstream. right? We need to care for them. They're perishing. So then the last thing, and I just have 2 minutes. I can't stress enough this matter of our mind. Treasure your mind. Do you know mental illness is on incredible rise? Suicide is on rise. Neurocognitive degradation, personality disorders, they're all on rise. The mind is the battleground. And we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to really come to the Lord and realize that, you know, our mind is what informs our decisions, right? We choose with our will. Our mind sets the path, and we use our will to decide. But the mind is the leading part of our person. We need our mind to be saturated with Christ.
Amen.
So in all of our decisions in our daily life, as our brothers share, 80 to 90% of the one new man is our decisions. And in order for those decisions to be Christ, we have to put off the old man and put on the new man.
Amen.
And do you know this is the reality of the one new man?
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after. This is what will bring him back. And in truth, this is what will save other people. Because they will be at our university. Who are these people?
Yeah.
Their logic, their reasoning, their thinking, it is divine and mysterious. I want what they have.
Yes.
I want what they have. They have an unprecedented community. What is that church life they have?
Yeah.
They love one another. They care for one another. They speak truth to one another. They're kind and forgiving. Who doesn't want that? That's what God's heart. He's begging, come to me. I want to show you I have this for you. Come to me.
Amen.
So we just come to him.
Amen.
I'll end here because, do you know, in the one new man, we all have a portion. We all have a function. Our Christ is unique because our journey is unique. The older you get, the more you go on in the Lord, the more you'll realize no one really knows you except the Lord. Even he will give you a new name at the end in eternity. And when he gives you that name, you will know he was with you the whole way.
Amen.
And so in that same manner, we need your function.
Amen.
That's not just someone up here standing and speaking to you. We need response.
Amen.
We need you to share your Christ with us, to let him flow through from your spirit, through your mind, out to all of us.
Amen.
So we can enjoy your portion.
Amen.